Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score as we look ahead to some of the weekend's action. Coming up, we'll have a GAA preview. I'll be speaking with Martin McHugh and Tim Moynihan of Radio Kerry as Donegal and Kerry clash on Sunday afternoon at Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney in round three of the Allianz National Football League. But before that, we're going to talk soccer. The new League of Ireland Premier Division season starts this Friday night with Finn Harps kicking things off at home to Drogheda United. There has been a major change around Finn Park ahead of the new campaign, both on and off the field. The target for Harps is, of course, surviving again in the top flight of Irish football. Defending champion Shamrock Rovers are again tagged as favourites, but there is optimism around Derry City that the Candy Stripes can challenge for trophies in 2022. In Highlands Premier Division preview this week, Jeremy Doherty was joined by two former Finn Harps and Derry City players, and Declan Boyle and Gavin Cullen.
Well, Gavin, we can start with yourself. We've hardly come up for air, really, after the exciting conclusion to the 2021 campaign, but we find ourselves ready to go again.
Yeah, it seems a very quick turnaround in terms of, suppose, the players really got 6 weeks off, and then they're back in pre-season. I just seen an interview with Barry McNamee you had yesterday, and they're back in the first of January. So it's full year round, and you can see why the league's full time, because the players are putting in that much commitment and effort to it. There's no summers, there's no breaks for them at all, to be honest.
And with that, Gavin, you know, the pressure is on the clubs and the respective managers to start assembling the squads, because when you look right throughout the Premier Division, you know, there's been so many changes, so many players moving from club to club and elsewhere.
Yeah, it seems crazy this year altogether. I don't think in my memory I've seen as much movement or as much transfers or as many young players even heading to England. So, look, it's good in a way, but at the same time it makes it very difficult to keep a consistency. And the league's quite a high standard at the minute, so it's interesting to see going on the next season what level it'll be compared to last, you know.
Well, Harps and Derry City are two of those clubs who have seen quite a number of changes in terms of personnel in the lead up to the new season. But Declan, you're well placed, of course, to offer an insight into life at Sligo Rovers. And it's a club that did so well last season, but significantly, they've lost players who were so important to them last year.
Yeah, I mean, good season last year for Sligo Rovers, qualifying for Europe again. So that brings in a bit of revenue to the club, and it obviously helps the budget to recruit players. But you're absolutely right. Had a good season, and even within the good season, we lost seven players. And notably, obviously, Johnny Kenny, the striker that went to Celtic and transferred across, and also John Mahan, the centre-back that went to St Johnstone as well for, I think roughly in the 100,000 figure. So that's revenue, obviously, the Sligo Rovers got, but they've lost two key players and probably two of the best players that they had playing last year, obviously one defensively and one attacking, and that can be hard to replace. They've lost seven players in total, and most of those players are in the top end of the pitch. And you look at Ryan DeFries is gone, up to Johnny Kenny, John Mahan, Walter Figueroa is gone, Andrew Wright, Romeo Park, and Melvin Lorenzo is gone as well. So lost a lot of quality there. And similar to all the rest of the team you discussed there in regards to players coming in, and there's very little time to bed those players in. So it'll be very interesting to see how the teams that bring in a lot of players and how they kick off at the start of the season, and that bedding in period, and how long will it take, because that could be a problem for a lot of teams.
You know, overall, last season has to go down as pretty successful for Sligo Rovers, Declan. Although, when you look at the league table and they end up like they were a full 21 points behind the eventual champion Shamrock Rovers, but they still finished third and they still qualified for Europe. So plenty of positives to take from that.
I think so. They started off very well last year compared to the year before, where they started off very poorly, and then we had the COVID break 2 years ago, and then they came good and got into Europe. Last year they started off very well and eventually just creeped over the line, and Derry pushed them hard, obviously for that third spot, but then Derry got in themselves through the FAI Cup So that's, you know, so it's interesting to see. And Derry had a terrible start and they were well behind Sligo after 7 or 8 matches when Rory Higgins would have came in and got in and as manager of Derry City. So they've done obviously remarkable well to get that close and then obviously qualify for Europe for Derry as well. So yeah, listen, it's interesting to see how it'll pan out. And obviously they'll be looking to get off to a good start again to probably get to the second round of the European competition, the Europa League, to be a definite achievement. That's obviously brings in the region of about $500,000 to the club, which is massive money and funding for the club to extend both the facilities and their infrastructure and obviously bring new players in as well. So those kind of things. So they'll be looking to start really well and can they get potentially going to a better cup run than last year. They're out in the first round against Cork City, which is very disappointing for them. They're looking for a good cup run and obviously try to qualify for Europe will be the goal next year for Sligo Rovers.
And Gavin, what do you make of the start then that Sligo Rovers are facing as we get the new season underway? They're at home to Bowes in their first match. After that, it's away to St. Pat's and then away to Derry City. So a Northwest derby very, very early in their campaign. And, you know, every club will be saying it, but Sligo will be looking to get off to a good start, I'm sure.
They will, surely. That's the clubs that are in around Sligo's area of the league, and you expect them to be challenging again, maybe for the top half and the top half and going for Europe. So the Derry Cities and the St. Pat's and the Bows are the clubs that they want to be beaten. But again, it's an unknown quantity. If they have a turnover of 7 players, probably it's the 7 players are all starting 11 players, really, and really good players. You don't know what you're going to get from them. And as Declan alluded to there, there's very little bedding in time, very little work, a couple of friendlies. Probably the first game of the season might be the first time that he gets his full team out. So it's very difficult to see how it's going to start in any of the games. But Sligo's probably, as much as any, they're an unknown quantity.
They certainly are. Well, Derry City then are another club then, Gavin, who have seen a lot of changes in terms of personnel within their squad. And you know, we could go through the new signings. We can do that in a minute or two. But one thing that stood out as well was the addition of Alan Reynolds as assistant manager under Rory Higgins this year. Some people suggesting that that's a real key appointment.
Yeah. They hadn't really gotten an assistant manager last year. I know Critaro was there, but they still were a bit short. So it was obvious that Rory was earmarking Alan to come in and do that job. He's a wealth of experience. He's in with the Irish under 21s. He's got all the coaching badges. So by all accounts around the dressing room, he's very good with players. So look, it looks like they're really happy with that addition and with the players they've brought in. It's very interesting times with Derry.
And of course, I mean, financially well-backed as well, Gavin, well-organised off the field at Derry City. And that has perhaps allowed Rory Higgins to, you know, to delve into the transfer market and make some important additions.
Yeah, big time. It's exciting times. We were in with Cock Hull in the Brandywell last Sunday, and they were there, some of the players and the management team, and speaking to them, and it is exciting times. I watched the game, a friendly against Institute 2 weeks ago, and the likes of Patchen and Michael Duffy looked a class above everything in the pitch. They really were sharp looking. Fats didn't play that day. They've looked Shane McElhinney, who signed from Harps, looked actually a lot fitter and a lot leaner. And they've a wealth of talent, and they will, I've no doubt in my mind, they will be up for a challenge in this season.
Declan, would you agree with that thought of Gavin's, that Derry City now have the strength and depth there that can allow them to perhaps kick on? Last year, what did they finish? Fourth, just in behind Sligo Rovers. So, you know, some might say well-placed to challenge Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, for me, with the quality of players they've brought in, I don't see anybody getting close to the Shamrock Rovers, only themselves. They've brought in players with top end of the pitch that scores goals, can produce that moment of magic when maybe things are a bit tight. And that can be the difference sometimes in games that are difficult, especially away from home. And, you know, Michael Duffy, obviously, Will Patching, as you say, he scored a lot of goals for them when he was on loan for the first half of the season between penalty kicks and free kicks. Yeah, Patrick McElhinney as well. You know, if he can keep him fully fit, he's probably been a wee bit unlucky with injuries in the last couple of years. He hasn't played as many games as he probably would have liked, and if they can keep him fit, he can be a key player, and just that bit of magic and just produce something out of nothing. And that's what you're looking for, to win games maybe when you haven't played so well, especially away from home. But for me, it's Shamrock Rovers and Derry City, and whatever one of those two can come out on top. And I would presume as well that, as you mentioned, the financial backing they have, if things are going really well, Come July, there'll be no problem with them spending a few pounds again to maybe bring in a bit more quality, especially maybe a striker or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see. Looking forward to the season and how they progress. Obviously, there's extra pressure now on Rory as well. You've got better players in, far bigger budget than he had last year, and that brings extra pressure. So you've got to make sure you start off really well. And they already have a difficult start as well. And yeah, listen, really quality. But for me, it's Shamrock Rovers and Derry City. And the key ingredient for the both of those clubs is they've lost very little players. So they've brought in a good quality and real settled team. So for me, it's between the two of them.
Yeah, and Rory Higgins came in last year very early in the campaign. Remember, he replaced Declan Devine. So perhaps it was a case of seeing out the 2021 season and then maybe, you know, stamping his own, you know, authority on things and getting in the players that he wanted to bring in. So that might add that little bit of pressure now, because all of a sudden it's his team and it's his setup.
Yeah, well, once your budget increases and you bring in better quality players, there's extra pressure on the manager. He did a marvellous job last year coming in after a very bad start Derry had. He went away in the first match, beat Sligo, up in Sligo, then he went away to Bowes, beat Bowes, and I think he won the next game at home as well. So this is a great start for him. And we were, this time last year, Jeremy, we were just chatting, Finn Harps had a stronger squad than Derry City, and how that has totally turned around this year. So it just shows you the quality of players that he's added in. And it's not just 1-11. Derry City now have got a 1-18. So they've 7 or 8 players that will can come into that team, and it doesn't weaken them in any kind of capacity at all. So yeah, it's a great way to be for a manager having that quality beside you, but it brings extra pressure as well.
And Gavin, the Derry City supporters, they like to be entertained. They like to see their team score goals and win matches in style. Scoring goals was an issue for them last year, but I'm sure the fans will have a big, big part to play in helping Derry City in this year's campaign.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement. By all accounts, their season tickets have been sold out. That friendly I was at against Institute, there was probably 2,000 people at a friendly. So there is interest and there is a lot of excitement. And again, you're going, and what they've brought in is actually really good quality local players as well. So the local people will get behind that. And as Declan said there, if they start well, and it's important that they do start well, you know, they will be hard to stop. And I'm in the same belief. I think Shamrock Rovers are probably too strong for everybody, but the only club that's probably going to come close could be Derry this season as well.
Okay, then. Well, we'll move from Sligo and from Derry City, and we'll turn our attentions to all things Finn Harps for the next few minutes. And I was just preparing for today's programme and looking back on last season, and I suppose the big talking point was the fact that Harps needed as much as 44 points in order to survive in the Premier Division this season. A massive total. There's no doubt about that. One would hope that the team that's going to avoid finishing in the playoff spot or even automatic relegation spot this year won't need that total. But what was the reason for that last year, Declan? I mean, it was a strange season on so many fronts.
Yeah, it's hard to understand how you needed so many points, but I suppose it showed the quality of the teams. I suppose if you take out Longford out of that equation, the quality of the teams around the bottom half of the table, you obviously had Drogheda down the next season, Harps for the next season as well down there. You had Longford, who were probably relegated, I suppose, halfway through the season as such in regards, didn't pick up too many points. You know, and you had obviously Waterford down there as well. So a lot of points, a lot of teams got a lot of wins. And I remember us discussing before, Jim, where we said that for any team to go and play in the playoffs, I thought that they'd have a good chance of winning because they weren't coming in bad form. They're coming in after, you know, a lot of wins, and then lo and behold, UCD then go and beat Waterford in the playoffs. So it's just, you just never know, do you, how things are going to pan out. But I think just the quality of the teams were a lot better last year down at the end of the table, and it'll be interesting to see who's going to be down there fighting. And I would say obviously Harps will be down there, Drogheda will be down there, you know, UCD will be down there, Shelburne have added a bit of quality, and Damien Duffin will be interesting to see how he energises them and how they play throughout the whole season. But he's got good quality players in. So it's going to be very interesting. And then, I mean, there's times, there's also, the teams who were the so-called better teams were in that as well. Bowes were in there for a long, long time, and they pulled away near the end, you know. So you just never know who's going to be down there, but it's going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to the season.
in some ways, Declan, Hearts were perhaps the victims of their own success because they, you know, they played so well during the season. They enjoyed so many good results, and they had some very good individual players throughout the campaign. And those players then all of a sudden became quite attractive to some of the so-called bigger clubs within the league. And, you know, shortly after the season ended and the weeks that followed, Declan, you know, you could understand why Harps supporters were suddenly finding themselves frustrated at seeing so many players going through the exit door and leaving the club.
Yeah, that's the difficult part, you know, from point of view of supporters watching it. And you obviously have Tunde that kind of lit up the season there from the halfway mark for Harps, and any team he played against, he caused them real problems. Adam Foley obviously was excellent for the first third of the season and scored a lot of goals, you know, and Sean Boyd as well pitched in with goals. So, you know, we lost players on the top end of the pitch, and we probably have lost in the region of about 30 goals. And that's very hard to replace, you know. And as you look on from it, you know, I wonder at times, and I know there's been a few clubs that have lost a lot of players, but there has to be something done in regards to planning ahead and strategic thinking in regards to these players being lost, because, you know, you can't keep pulling players from all over the world pretty much into the squad and make it work. And sometimes that's going to go against you. And I just think at times there needs to be a bit more long-term thinking from a point of view of Fin Heart Football Club and looking at players and trying to tie them down to longer contracts, similar to what Derry City have implemented in the last 2 or 3 years where they're given 2-year contracts. Yeah, they might turn around and say, well, we couldn't get those contracts to these players halfway through the season because they didn't know the outcome of where they'd be, whether they'd be in the First Division or whether they'd be in the Premier League. Regardless, for me, there's a core amount of players that need to be there next year, regardless in the First Division and the Premier League. And it's definitely something that clubs in the League of Ireland need to start identifying the players they need to keep, give them long-term contracts. And even if those players are you get relegated and you're in the First Division, they're still an asset to the club. And, you know, we had Tunde on a 2-year contract. We probably got 20,000 or 30,000 for him this year, so he would have been an asset. And it's something that both Harps and other clubs around the area needs to look at long-term planning and planning for the future.
Okay, interesting. Well, Gavin, one player that you know very well from your time of playing with him at Coghill Celtic is Mark Coyle. So he's one of the players that left Harps this year. Supporters, you know, might be wondering, could he have stayed alone? Others might say, well, he's getting the chance now of a professional contract at Shelburne. And it's a chance that rarely comes along for local players.
Yeah, it was a tough one for Mark. I know, by speaking to him, it was a tough decision, and he thought long and hard about it. He's a young lad. He had a fantastic season last year. He really stepped up to the mark. He's been at Fin Harps now maybe 3 seasons, and at the beginning of COVID and stuff, he was debating giving up senior football, and then he had such a good season, he went back and done really well. And obviously Shelburne came in, and it was tough. And as a young lad, and he had the opportunity to go full-time and test himself and see how well he could do. He's seen his friend, Georgia Kelly, doing so well, and probably that sort of swayed his decision as well. You can't blame him, and players should want to play at the best level and push themselves the best they can, and he can always come back as well. But look, it was a difficult choice for him, but look, I wish him all the best, and I hope he does really well, you know.
Yeah, we wish him well, because I'm sure Harps fans will give him a good welcome when he comes back and to Balbuffet in the colours of Shelburne, Gavin. The players then that have come in, I mean, we were looking at them off air, and you know, I mean, it's a gather up of players from here, there, and everywhere, really, isn't it? And I mean, the big question is, you know, how does Ollie manage to do it? This is something that he seems to be able to do season in, season out, and he's come up with the goods again.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, and it's a credit to him, but at the same time, at times you feel sorry for him having to do that. As Declan said there about players signing 2 and 3 year contracts, like, I don't know if when's the last time Harps give out a contract like that. And I know the situation is, you know, you can't do it because you're taking a chance on a lot of these players coming in as well. You're not seeing them, you're not knowing them, how they will react to living in Balafay, how they react to the League of Ireland playing at Fin Park, you know. Like, obviously, Tunde, in hindsight, and boys like that, you should have had in long-term contracts. But when he first came in, he wasn't setting the world alight. No, it took a while to get settled. So it's hard and it's difficult. And as I say, the way Fin Harps are as a club, you know, it's been like that for years. It's sort of hand-to-mouth and away in terms of the structures and all. So, like, ideally, they get the structures right, and they're doing what Derry's doing now, I think, Derry's reserve team are on their 19th team. They've actually signed 7 or 8 of them on 2 and 3 year contracts in the last couple of weeks, which is great for the young lads and great for the club. So they are sellable assets as well. So Fun Harps really need to get that right some way. In terms of the players are coming in, sir, it's a total unknown. There's probably 7 or 8 players from last year's squad, all good players, and they had a very good squad last year. But we're going to Fun Park next Friday night, and we're all anxious to see what these players are like. By all accounts, some of them in training have been very good, but again, it's how they react, how they bet in, how they settle is a huge question.
All right. Well, Declan, you have seen Harps in action in pre-season. You caught the game against Sligo Rovers, and I know you're pretty impressed by what you saw.
Yeah, I seen them up in the showgrounds, yeah, and I thought they played very well on the night, and they made a lot of substitutions, so it was hard to gauge exactly who was playing because we didn't really get a team sheet as such, but the overall performance was actually quite good, and I thought they played better than Sligo, and they passed the ball really well, you know. So again, similar to Gavin, it's an interesting one for supporters because we all kind of want to go on Friday night and see who's playing for starters, and then see what sort of qualities come in. I mean, I think there's 9 players in total, and that's a lot of players coming and try to bed them in and see what sort of quality they have. So that's the interesting part, you know, and hopefully we can get 3 or 4 of those that'll be exciting and will obviously score a few goals for us and cause a lot of problems and get us over the line in a lot of games. So that'll be interesting as well, yeah. So I'm looking forward to it, but I just don't know enough about them to even talk about them. So it's an interesting one, but I'm looking to hopefully see them in action, and we can talk about them afterwards after the first match next Friday night.
And the players that we do know, Declan, from having watched them in the League of Ireland, Bastian Heary, bags of experience. Regan Donlan has been with Harps before, as has Jesse Devers. And Conor Tourish comes in from Letterkenny Rovers. And I suppose Gavin Mulroney as well, you would know him from down your part of the world, a good goalkeeper. And he's getting his chance now at senior level.
Yeah, that's great for Gavin to be getting this opportunity. Obviously, he played underage county teams when he was younger, obviously, and plays. He's involved in the Army. I think he plays in the International Irish Army team as well. So that's where maybe the paths crossed. Yeah, to be getting an opportunity similar to probably Mark Antony from a point of view, getting it probably a wee bit later in their life, you know, and haven't really come through the academy structures as such, but it's an opportunity for him, and it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. And, you know, I presume Mark Antony will probably be number one and Gavin will be number two. That's what I'm trying to think, but it's an opportunity for him. I suppose Bastian Henry, we did see him up in the showgrounds, and I thought he was really good. And he's a kind of technical gifted player, plays in that 10 position and likes to everything. He wants everything coming through him. So obviously he played with Derry City last year as well. And it'll be interesting to see how he conducts things. But he's one of those players that's a wee bit of quality, and he likes to be heavily involved in all attacking sort of maneuvers, you know. So that'll be really interesting. And obviously Regan Donnelly didn't play that much with Sligo Rovers last year, had a few injuries, left back. We've obviously seen him alive during a few times, and he's a very good passer of the ball. He delivers really good from set plays as well. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs, obviously, in the left-back position. We lost, obviously, Siddiqui in the centre-half position. Obviously, they've put in a few centre-backs as well. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of quality they are as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's a real interesting one. And, you know, just as Gavin mentioned earlier, you just don't know what you're going to get with players coming in. But hopefully we get a bit of quality. And if we have as lucky as we have at Tundee, we'll be more than happy.
Okay, well, Gavin, I know that you will be well aware of the capabilities of Conor Tourish, the defender that's signed from the Letterkenny Rovers. And, you know, I put it to him when I got chatting to him during the week that, you know, perhaps he could look at the example set by Ryan Rainey, who has moved to Harps ahead of last season from Bunnagee United. Took a little while to find his feet at Finn Park, but once he did get going, he really was impressive.
Yeah, it's exactly what Conor had been aiming for. Ryan went up last year, good player, good footballer at intermediate level, and he what he caught. In fairness, he was patient and but his time, and there was rumours and talks that, you know, come the June transfer window, July transfer window, he was going to leave, but I'm glad he stayed. I'm sure he's glad he stayed as well, because he got a run of games in and scored a few goals, and looks a good, probably an A-long starter for the start of this season. In terms of Connor, very similar. I played against Connor loads of times, played with him and represented the squads. A very, very good footballer, a very good reader of the game technically, very good for a centre-half. Probably the only question is his size and stuff to go into the League of Ireland. But look, if he adjusts and does well, he definitely has the ability. And I know the step up's huge from intermediate level to the Premier Division, but at the same time, look, he will get chances this year with the squad, and hopefully it goes well for him.
Okay, and speaking of centre halves, then the new assistant manager in Balbuffet, Gavin, is another Gavin Dykes. I was trying to work out, is he a former teammate of yours? But I'm sure he's someone you know well.
Yeah, I played with him. Declan and Gavin were the two centre halves at the time. Very good partnership. Declan read the game and could play, and Gavin would just head it anywhere. Very good defender. He actually gave me my debut in the League of Ireland when he was manager as well. So, look, I know him for years and years. Knows a lot about football. I was actually surprised to see him come back in. But I think he was at Warren Point, was he?
So
I was surprised when he came back in. But obviously, all he was looking for, somebody with a lot of experience and to come in and give him a hand. And like, there's no better man. He knows a lot about the League of Ireland, you know.
He certainly does. Declan, we came across Gavin Dykes last year on our travels. He was doing a bit of media work during when Sligo Rovers games. So he's been watching League of Ireland football. He knows what it's about. And I get the feeling that he's looking forward to this new challenge.
Yeah, no, I haven't been chatting to him. I bump into him every now and again. But yeah, he was at Warren Point. I think just a lot of travelling from Sligo the whole way to Warren Point for training and matches. And probably it's closer location, obviously, Balbuffet. He's been there before, both as a player and as a manager as well, and as assistant coach to Ollie. So he knows what it's all about. And the last time they're there, they had a good relationship as well. So it's probably a no-brainer for Ollie to take him in after losing Paul Higgerty. And so he's bringing in somebody experienced as well. And so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out throughout the whole season. But probably some of their players or some of their coaches with some of their ideas as well. So, yeah. But a good addition. Gavin's highly organised, very good in the dressing room from a point of view, motivating players, but also he's entertaining and good fun as well to have around the dressing room. So when things aren't going good, sometimes you need that wee bit of humour to keep everybody happy. But yeah, it's a good addition to the staff.
Boys, is anybody going to challenge Shamrock Rovers? Or are they going to win the league for a third season on the bounce? Declan?
As discussed earlier, I think Derry is probably the only team that have the quality and depth of players that will come close to Shamrock Rovers. Will they push them? I think they'll push them for sure and make it close. But near the end, I think Shamrock Rovers might pull away just from the fact that they've signed Jack Byrne, who scored over 12 or 14 goals two seasons ago from midfield, and that just brings in an extra dimension to them. And you know, they've had the players on top end of the pitch that will come in with 10 goals here and 10 goals there, and they just scored enough goals overall. But there was times throughout the whole season where they weren't convincing, but this year they're going to have to be, because I think they're actually going to push them hard for that number one spot.
And at the other end of the table, Declan, I mean, is it too predictable to suggest that perhaps UCD might be the team to struggle?
Yeah, Gavin mentioned there, it's how you start, and they'll be looking to get off to a positive start and get a wee bit of confidence. And probably Shamrock Rovers usually will be down there. I think Shelburne might be down there at the start, depending on how they start off. So Harps will be down there. I think Drogheda will be down there after losing their manager, Tim Clancy. They've lost players as well. They went the opposite direction to St. Pat's. Kevin Doherty's come in there, and I don't see any extra quality that he's added. So that'll be interesting to see how Drogheda goes. So I think, between the four of those, it'll be down there fighting off relegation and the playoff spot.
Okay, then. Well, Gavin, what about yourself? What's your thoughts on what might happen?
Pretty similar, I suppose, and I don't think it is as predictable as we're making it sound, but I do think Shamrock Rovers will win it, and I think it'll really be down to themselves to lose it rather than another team pushing on and being way better. I think last season they won the league without being playing to their levels. I don't think. I think they won it by just scraping games and getting results when they weren't playing well. I think this year the step up is Jack Byrne coming in as top player for the League of Ireland. So he'll add a lot to the squad. They've goals in midfield. They've international defenders in their squad. You know, an international goalkeeper and Almanis from Northern Ireland. So, you know, they've got squad and they've got stability in their squad, which they're not changing like other clubs, 6, 7, 8 players over the winter break. So I think they're going to be hard to stop. As again, with Derry, we know what they're going to bring. And come July in the transfer window, if they're there thereabouts, they can add a lot to their squad and will challenge. But I think they'll just be a season too early for them to push on and win a league. After that, it's just a bunch of clubs, Sligo, Bowes, St. Pat's, possibly Dundalk at the bottom end of that. No, but it's sort of the way it is. And I think the bottom three or four is, in my opinion, Drogheda probably are looking the weakest. Harps, we just don't know. But with Ollie and with his record in the league and whatever, you know they're going to be there, thereabouts. No, but they have enough experience there with that to maybe get a playoff or whatever. So UCD, speaking to William about them, William Connors, assistant manager, they're set up, their professionalism, the facilities they have, they'll be as fit and organised as any team in the league. They'll be buzzing. He says they've a lot of quality players. Come July, some of them guys will be finished college there, and maybe the bigger clubs will be like Colin Whelan and stuff might come in and take them. So that's a danger. But I could see UCD doing quite well and having a bright start to the league. And again, Shelburne, total unknown. So look, it's pretty similar to Declan in terms of, I think, Shamrock Rovers and probably Drogheda Harps to fight it out to the bottom end, you know.
That's Jeremy Doherty heading up that preview piece alongside Declan Boyle and Gavin Cullen. And there's lots more on the League of Ireland from the two guys. It's available now. You can watch that piece in full. It's in the sports section of highlandradio.com. And we will, of course, have full live match commentary from Finn Park tomorrow night as Harps start their new campaign against Drogheda. Full match commentary in association with BNS Credit Union in Ballybuffet will be live as from 7:50 tomorrow evening there. And Derry City are also in action tomorrow, of course. They play Dundalk. It's a difficult start for Derry. Dundalk first up at Oriel Park on Friday night. And then next Friday, of course, the first home game as they welcome the champions Shamrock Rovers to the Brandywell. Just in with senior soccer action in the Irish League involving Northwest sides, Institute of Derry are in action against Ards. That game is a Friday evening match, and Derrickview are playing on Saturday. They're making the trip to Belfast to take on Queen's University. There's also FAI Intermediate Cup action this weekend for two Ulster Senior League sides. Bunnagee United will host Everton FC, and Coghill Celtic are on the road. They're in Dublin against Liffey Wanderers on Sunday afternoon. If the USL sides can come through those respective fixtures, they will be through to the quarterfinal stage of the FAI Intermediate Cup. Likewise, at junior level, there's Ulster Cup semi-finals taking centre stage this weekend. Three of the four teams in the last four are Inishowen Premier Division sides. In an all-Inishowen affair, Buncrana Hearts are taking on Glengadge United, while Alia are playing host to Kildrum Tigers in the other semi-final on Sunday afternoon. Moving on to Gaelic games. After a positive 3 points from the four available, Donegal returned to National Football League action on Sunday in Killarney as Declan Boner's side face off with Kerry in round three. Donegal head to the Kingdom with a depleted squad. Captain Michael Murphy will not feature, but Jason McGee and Kieran Thompson could return. Niall O'Donnell, Jamie Brennan, Oisin Gallen and Neil McGee will not feature either, but Hugh McFadden and Dara Boyle could be part of the match day 26. On this week's preview, I've been joined by Highlands match analyst Martin McHugh alongside Radio Kerry commentator Tim Moynihan. I started first by asking Tim, how much can Kerry read into the win over Dublin last time out?
Obviously very little, Oisin. You know, we came off the week before, we struggled against Kildare in the second half of that game. It was the first game, so the first competitive game for Jack O'Connor, and going into, I suppose, familiar territory for Jack. So then it was a terrible night in Tralee, that game against Dublin, a packed. Of course, the big thing over the last couple of years, Tralee is, you know, really grown for the Mayo games, the under lights, likewise the Dublin game, and a huge expectancy, an expectancy of a Kerry win. And the good thing about Kerry, they, you know, they put on a marker early on in that game, but Dublin seemed rudderless in that game, and Kerry really took advantage of that. You know, it depends what the opposition, while you have to go out, you have to kick scores, and Kerry did that. And I suppose the one positive, you know, the week before I did a post-match interview with Jack O'Connor, and, you know, where the midfield of Kildare really took over in the second half of that game. The good thing this time, Dermot O'Connor, he's promised so much over the last couple of years that he seems to be coming of age. Like, you can't read too much into one particular game, but it's something Jack wants. He wants a settled midfield and a backup in midfield. So he had the two Nigel guys that weren't available the week before because of Nigel being involved in the Intermediate Club Championship. So that was a huge positive. But plus about, I suppose, a lot of guys got involved in that dirty ball around the middle of the field. And that's something, and I know Martin could allude to this as well, that you need players to of the calibre of the Paul Galvins, the Thomas Sullivans, the Daras, the Tomás O'Shea's. Jack O'Connor always had go-to players, O'Sheen. And that's what he's trying to identify with this panel of players. You know, he was involved with a number of them at minor level, but now they're men. And what leaders, what can you do in a game when your back is to the wall? And he's looking for those sort of characters. And they will be tested. They've been tested in the Dublin game and likewise the Donegal game Sunday, you know.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Kerry in 2022, Martin? What have you seen of them so far this year? And what's your thoughts ahead of the rest of the league and obviously the championship? How big a year is this for Kerry, do you feel, given that they had big disappointments over the course of the last couple of years, Martin?
Yeah, well, I think looking at Jack O'Connor always won the first year he goes in All-Ireland. And looking at so far the demise of Dublin, you'd feel like, you know, it's a great chance for Kerry to win the All-Ireland. I haven't seen much difference in the style of football that they've played and everything else. And, you know, of course, the big thing about them is Paddy Talley going down there and what defensively, coaching them defensively, how they're going to be that way. Because I'm looking at taking the Dublin defence of the last maybe, 10 years and the Kerry defence of the last 10 years. I feel the Dublin defenders defend first and then attack, where the Kerry defenders are all good footballers and they look like they all want to attack. That's the, you know, the first thing on their mind, and maybe forgetting about defending a bit. And, you know, we look at the Tyrone game last year. I know they missed a lot of chances, Kerry and Wales, but in the end of it, was three goals they conceded. Two in normal time and the one in extra time that cost them the match and everything else. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of work for Jack O'Connell not going in there. But the post interesting thing from Kerry's point of view and Jack's point of view is he's played a very, very strong team in the McGrath Cup and in the two league games. And, you know, suppose we look at it, you know, suppose the David Clifford factor is always going to be massive and everything else. But one player, even in Kerry, and Kerry, as strong as Kerry, is not going to win the All-Ireland. The midfield is the other big one. And we talked about, you know, that the automatically after the Kildare game, and Tim has covered it there very well, he was at the match. You know, their midfield struggled against Kildare, particularly in the second half. Then he took two lads that hadn't played, that were involved in their club, an intermediate club in Kerry, and put the two of them right into the match, the big match against Dublin, you know, who Dublin normally be strong in the middle of the field. So we look at it, will he get his midfield right? Where does David Moran stand in the middle of the field? He's been one of the best midfielders in Ireland this last while, but I think he's about 34 years of age. You know, can he carry on everything else? So midfield is going to be very important for them to win that battle and everything else, how their defence goes and everything else. And suppose the big question is, there's been a couple of games, and Tim would know this a lot better than me, in the last 3 years, that they probably should have won. And normally Kerry teams in the past would have got over the line. We had the Tyrone game last year. You had the Mayo match. And you know, we had the Dublin final when Dublin were down to 14 men. And I thought they should have won them matches. And they didn't get over the line. So, yeah, a lot of question marks about Kerry and everything else. But you still would say, with a bunch of players they have and everything else, Oisín, you'd have to class them, with the way Dublin's going at the minute, did you have to class them as favourites for the All-Ireland?
From a Kerry point of view, what sort of game are you expecting against Donegal at the weekend, Tim?
I expect, first of all, I expect him to probably now is the time to try out other players as well. Now, we've been very fortunate. We seem to have found, without putting pressure on the man, he's Dan O'Donoghue. He's from the Spa Club here in Killarney. And he seems to be a fine, something, you know, this no-nonsense defender. So he's looking at different individuals as well as putting a structure in place. And now, I suppose we want to see what the structure and the system of Paddy Talley, will that be an ongoing process where we can see bodies behind the ball and you know, the counter-attack. And I know Martin probably have heard Ambrose in the past. Ambrose O'Donoghue, as Martin alluded to, that we have a lot of attacking halfbacks and even cornerbacks. And if we're saying our forwards are as good as they are, we seem to be clogging up space when we come forward. And that's something, one-on-one, we have dangerous forwards. And sometimes with all the backs that want to attack, we seem to go into cul-de-sacs. And it'll be interesting to see, will we play the open spaces of Fitzgerald Stadium? And that, and I suppose to build, I suppose that's what Jack O'Connor's trying to do, to build on the success against Dublin, as well as find out these characters that I say he's looking for, that, you know, guys that live on the edge, four or five players that will do things for the winning of the game. And, you know, as Ambrose would tell you, like, too many nice fellas don't win you a game. You have to have guys, you know, that work so hard for the team, will do things, take one for the team. And they're the characters. And we've seen the teams have been successful over the last couple of years, O'Shane, that they have those players in abundance. And that's something that's probably lacking in Kerry since the, you know, the changeover. They were big numbers to lose that time, the Darrow Shays, the Paul Galvin, the Tomás O'Shane. They were all around the same time. And to replace, they were winners. And to replace that sort of winning mentality, that's what Jack is looking for, you know?
Yeah. Killarney, Martin, we almost beat Kerry in 2018 in Killarney. A late score in the match by Kerry gave them victory there. There was three players, I think, sent off on that day. So it could turn out to be a good hunting ground for Donegal this weekend. If Kerry play like the way Tim is suggesting, yes, Donegal are down bodies, Martin, but can they run Kerry close this weekend?
Well, it's interesting what Tim was saying there about forwards backs going forward and crowding out the forward line. I've been given out about that in Donegal, that's what we're basically doing in Donegal. Maybe it's the modern day coaching and what they want to, you know, some people say keep teams honest and all this here and push up. And to me, it's the exact same as Tim has said, is crowding it out on players. And when you've got quality forwards, which Donegal would have as well, I think the more space you leave for them, the better. And, you know, keep defenders as defenders if you can. You've enough going forward from midfield up. But I think, you know, we probably have a bad record in Kerry. I'm not 100% sure. It was on the last team that actually beat Kerry down in Kerry in a famous game. I think it was 1988 or something. Tom Conan was managing Donegal and Mick O'Dwyer was managing Kerry. And maybe we did one since that, Oisín. I'm not 100% sure down there. But I always remember that game. And it was a famous game. There was a toss of coin and Tom Conan won the toss and we were wearing the green and gold at him. We got the green and gold and Kerry were wearing blue and they weren't used to it. And actually Pat Spillane passed the ball to a Donegal player and we ended up getting through and scoring a goal that day. And that won us the match down in Kerry. So that was a big, big achievement for us at the time. And it was great. You know, we're kind of moving up the divisions at that stage and we're trying to, you know, that was probably a big, big thing and give us a lot of confidence in going down to Kerry and getting a victory there. So, you know, it's a great place to go and get a victory and everything else. But as Tyrone found out last year, you can go down there too and you can get a good hammer down there too if they get on top of you and everything else. And as Tim was saying, they're trying out other players and everything else. And that's maybe not a good thing for Donegal. It'd be better if they're putting out the boys that are normally playing on the team and everything else. But I think it's a game that, I suppose, when Donegal sat down at the start of the year, is one they didn't expect to get. They don't expect to get 2 points from and everything else. So anything you get back up is a bonus. But there's no pressure on Donegal going down, Kerry or favourites and everything else. And, you know, it's hard to beat, you know, putting yourself against the best, and that's the Kerry or the Dublins in this world. And that's when you know, as a player, particularly a younger player, you know where you're at and everything else when you do that. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, two very, very good footballing teams. And we hopefully, as Tim said earlier on, maybe off air, if the conditions are, we're not expecting a good weekend, but hopefully by Sunday, the conditions will be better than the one maybe Friday and Saturday. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to see some of the young Donegal players, the Conor O'Donnells, the Shane O'Donnells and these type of players, how they do against the likes of the Kerry players, the Kerry defence and everything else. So, yeah, all you need and what you want out of it, and Tim has said it from a Kerry point of view, we're no different than Donegal. We need pluses out of it. We need to get ready for the championship. And I think, Tim, and I would say this, I think it's a big help to Kerry this year because with the Munster Championship and everything else, and then they're getting, you know, maybe that's why Jack's playing big teams in every game that he's playing this year, maybe his full team, because he's getting ready for the Championship and everything else. And you don't have that big a test, with no disrespect to the teams in Munster, you don't have that big a test. So I think this whole thing of a quick turnover from league to Championship, I believe, will actually, the team most it will help is Kerry going forward. So they'll be ready when they land in Croke Park. If we look at when they played Tyrone last year, Tyrone had played Cavan, who were the Ulster champions. They played Donegal, who were up there with the favourites, you know, had won Ulster's last couple of years. And they played Monaghan, who were all two Division One teams. They were ready for that match, where maybe Kerry weren't actually ready for it. But I think this year, that system, the new system there, will actually help Kerry, Tim.
Absolutely. And there's substance in what you say there, Martin. If I was to go back to the Tyrone, you know, that debacle we were on about, you know, because of COVID, they couldn't play us when they should be playing us. even for that extra week that we were giving them for the first, you know, the refixture, everyone in Kerry, the Kerry camp felt they were going to hit the ground running because that was the time they were hitting it. And I reckon if we met Tyrone, and we should have met them, we'd have beaten them. And that's been honest. Because what happened then, you were waiting an extra 2 weeks, and guys, and you know as well, Martin, from your playing days, you build yourself up to hit the ground running at a certain time. You train, like Mick O'Dwyer, you train to yourself to be fit for his training sessions, and then those training sessions were to hit that ground on a Sunday. So I felt that was 2 weeks more, and Kerry went flat, and we were caught. Now, there was a huge expectancy in the county, but that too, because it's gone, it's meticulous now in your preparation. It's like the guy training for the Olympics 100 metres final. He don't give it all in the first round heat. And that was what happened, Kerry. And I genuinely, to this day, think that if we met him when we were supposed to, we'd have beaten Tyrone. We probably would have won the All-Ireland. That's me. And I think the exact same way, because the season is so compact and so tight that you're talking about, like the Sam Maguire being somebody's house come the 25th of July, somewhere in the country. And this is how tight it is that you, and that's the big thing. I think the league has taken on a huge profile, lads, and not just for building. I remember, and you know that, Martin, there was times, there was a social aspect to the league going back decades ago, and where you were preparing and you'd winter well, and come January and February, you'd tug out for Mick O'Dwyer and he'd probably look at you and he'd say, a lot of work to be done here. And you were ready come the first round of the championship, which probably would be well into May that time. So it's totally different. It's gone to a different level. It's evolved. And because you want to be at the business end of, and that's why I think it means a lot both to Donegal and Kerry this Sunday, that you want to be at the business end and that quick turnaround straight in to get. And there's nothing worse that, and we have that problem in Munster with the last number, but all due respect, and I'm sure that they're coming, if they're not here already, the likes of the Cox of this world, there was no challenge in Munster. And suddenly you'll meet a team in the heat of the championship that have come out of Ulster, and after playing three or four games against top level teams, and they were well ahead of us because we hadn't done that, you know, hadn't had those challenges. And you're dead right, we would expect the season this year to benefit Kerry in some way with that quick turnaround. And I totally agree with what you said there, Martin.
Martin, you mentioned the likes of David Clifford, who scored 4-4 in an All-Ireland final. How does Donegal deal with David Clifford, and how does Donegal deal around the middle of the park, which was mentioned earlier as well? Tim did say that the Jack's trying out in and around the middle of the park, which will be vital come Sunday. So how does Donegal deal with all these elements?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, just driving through the county and talking to people in the county, the amount of people said, we're going to Kerry, we're going down to see David Clifford. So that's just how good he is. People just want to see him in the flesh and see him playing. And, you know, he's unbelievable player. I think he reminds me of all the great players that played Gaelic football. And I think the big thing in them was the Maurice Fitzgeralds, even the Peter Canavans, the David Cliffords and the Matt Connor, who I'd remember. Maybe you men wouldn't remember Matt Connor. But if they get the ball in their hands, that's trouble. And that's it. They're you're in big trouble. It doesn't matter how many players you want on them. If they get the ball in their hands, and Clifford's one of them players. And he showed it even the last night. For UL, you know, he was well marked by the Kildare fullback. He did a good enough job on him and everything else, but ended up winning the game because he got five balls or so in his hands and what he does with them. So, Oisin, to answer your question, you have to stop the supply if you can at all, and, you know, get you know.
I'm going to go back to the game in 2020, Martin, in the Super 2019 it was. Was it the Super 8s that we played, Kerry? Stephen McMenamin had a very, very good game on David Clifford that day in Croke Park.
Yeah, that's a fair enough point. And Stephen's coming back. But Stephen's coming back from injury. And Clifford's, what, so many years older now. I mean, he's a lot, lot better player now than he was then. But it's a big task for anybody to mark him. You know, you say to yourself, if you hold him to about 3 points from play, I think you'd be doing really well. I think that's what you have to say. And a player of that quality, and if you can do that, you've a chance. That's what I feel about. But he, listen, quality, and he's big as well, which makes a big difference in the modern game. And he's 2 feet. His right foot looks to be as strong as his left. So it's great if Kerry's playing anybody else. You love watching him and love seeing what he's doing and everything else. But he's quality, and he is worth, you know, the money to go to see him playing anywhere, because even he's playing tonight for UL in the final, and there'll be a lot of people all over the country glued to watch him. And watch him, you know, I think somebody said Sean Kelly, the Galway captain, might end up marking him tonight. So it's going to be a difficult job for anybody. But I think that that looking at it is that I think his important thing is to stop the supply, and the midfield is going to be very important. But I think Kerry are happy with their midfield performance that they had the last day against Dublin. Now, Donegal is going to be a different test in the middle of the field for them. Donegal have always been strong enough in the middle of the field, you know, be happy enough with our midfield that we're playing. And I know we'll make a Langan play or not, but he'd be an important cog in that area. Will Jason McGee be available or not in that area? And you've Keelan McGonigal, who's playing well in that area. So we've got players in that area. So it'll be good. That'll be a good test. It'll be young lads against each other in that area. So the midfield will be very important. So to win that, I'll make a big difference. Because you still feel that, we'd still feel that our full forward lane will cause the Kerry full back lane plenty of problems if we get enough possession in that area. So yeah, if Stephen McMenamin is available, it'll be a great old battle again to see him. He did really, really well in Croke Park that day on David Clifford, no doubt about it. And we know how Tigers a player, and he's been a big miss to Donegal. And, you know, is he back, how fit he is and everything else, and will it be fair to put him on David Clifford or that there? But you're looking at the other two Kerry forwards, they're not that far behind Clifford and everything else. But I think Tim made a great point, which is important in the modern game, is the Kerry players, and Paul Galvin was probably the unsung hero, and they don't have maybe that type of player that Kerry are missing at the minute, and is very important. It's something maybe in Donegal, we might have a lot of naturally talented footballers as well, and not enough of the type of players that will win the dirty ball and pick up that ball, which is important, where we always say about our neighbours in Tyrone, most of them all are capable of doing that, and will do, as Thomas said earlier on, whatever it takes for the team to win a match. So that's why we're looking forward to it and everything else in a league match. And, you know, hopefully, you never know, we could meet down the road again in a big championship game.
So, Tim, how are you calling this one at the weekend? Can we expect a game similar to what took place the last time they met, where Kerry won easy? Or is there a 120 apiece on the cards like what we've seen at Croke Park previously?
I think, Oisin, I go with the latter. As I said earlier, when we met in October, was it 2020? I think there was a bigger fish to fry than Kerry because they were looking at the Ulster Championship, Donegal. And, you know, as I said earlier, that, you know, if you could pick up a point along the way or 2 points along the way, it's bonus territory because there is an expectancy on the teams playing at home to win. So I think it'll be a lot closer than people think. I know there's injuries with both parties, but again, I wouldn't be reading too much into the Dublin game with Kerry. Dublin look rudderless. And I know they haven't gone away, but one thing, if I can allude to it, that particular evening, I was looking at Desi Farrell after 15 minutes, his body language. He didn't know what happened. Do you know what I mean? He was looking down on the ground. He was right underneath us where we were doing the commentary, Ambrose and myself, and he was in front of the dugouts. And, you know, if that was only 15 minutes into the game. And it was kind of worrying from a Dublin aspect. And like I say, that, you know, that particular game, the game was gone from them after 20 minutes or so. This will be different. The wide open expanses of Fitzgerald Stadium. It's been a fortress for championship games, Oisin. But we've lost some league games there over the years as well. So there's no hiding places. It's a bit like Croke Park. There's no hiding places in Fitzgerald Stadium. So, and that's, and this, do you know what this is all about? It's a learning curve, but you have to learn fast. And I hope that from both sides' point of view, Donegal will recognise their younger players. They're coming of age. These guys could do a job in the championship. That's what we're looking for on Sunday. So look, we're looking for a home win, but we're also looking for the structure, the system, the carrier playing. And are we going to let forwards be forwards? And that's the big question on every Kerry supporter. Because Martin alluded, David Clifford, box office, as he said, he's playing tonight for UL against NUIG. We also have Paddy Clifford. We didn't mention him. To me, he's the best find since... Now, Declan O'Sullivan was a serious footballer, as you well know, Martin, playing on the 40 for Kerry, and we haven't had a centre forward, to be fair, like him since. Now, I know Sean O'Shea, we're trialling him at midfield, and now he might be in the 40, but look at this is one player. I know you'll be looking for David, a lot of supporters. This guy, when he gets a ball, and not every player playing in the county does it nowadays, he looks up. What's on? He has a little tightened solo to himself, step back, and creates that opening, you know. And that's where we're looking for, the foot pass and the Kerry football. And a lot of people are going to see Paddy Clifford on Sunday. So, look, I'd hope that Kerry, you know, put my Kerry hat, scrape over and get, you know, that badly needed point at home for going forward. But I expect a huge challenge from the Donegal side. And I think that it'll be a lot closer than people think, you know.
That's Martin McHugh and Tim Moynan of Radio Kerry on this week's GAA preview. And again, you can watch that full piece. There's lots more available now online in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. And that will be our second live game of the weekend. Kerry against Donegal. Full live match commentary from Fitzgerald Stadium. The game starts at 1:45. The build-up on Highland will be from 1:30. And the Highland team this weekend, joining Mark McHugh in commentary, will be Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News, as Donegal make the trip to the Kingdom. Not forgetting the other games involving North West sides this weekend either. Tyrone, of course, are still chasing a first win in Division 1. They take on Kildare. That's at the later time on Sunday of 3:45. And in Division 2, Derry back in action again. It's their second home match of the campaign. They're taking on Cork on Sunday, an earlier start time of 1 o'clock. Rory Geller's Derry, of course, gunning for three wins on the bounce. Maxi Kearns, Donegal senior ladies, are looking to make it two wins on the bounce this coming weekend. He takes his side to Mullingar, to Cusick Park, to play Westmeath in their second of three games in the group stage of the competition. And Donegal will be confident going into this one after disposing of Galway last weekend, when Westmeath suffered a heavy, heavy defeat at the hands of Mayo. That one's going to be played on the 3G pitch on Sunday afternoon. The Tyrone ladies are in action on Sunday against Monaghan in Division 2B, and in Division 4A, Derry are up against Leitrim. Some underage action taking place this weekend. It's the start of the season for two Donegal teams. The under-20s in the Leo Murphy Cup will be playing Derry. That's at McCool Park on Saturday. It starts at 1 o'clock as Gary Duffy's side look to start the year with a victory. And the under-20 hurlers are also playing on Saturday as well against Down in the Development League. There's an earlier start time of 12 noon for their tie, and it's been played at the Donegal GA Centre in Convoy. Some other fixtures of note this weekend. On the rugby front, Letterkenny are playing in the quarter-final of the Gordon West Cup. It's a North West derby as they play host to Strabane on Saturday afternoon. In the Forrester Plate, Donegal Town take on Ofer, and then a Shoner away to Clogher Valley in the McCambley Cup. But at senior level, in the All-Ireland League Division 2C, there's a crucial bottom of the table clash. City of Derry sit just 2 points above the bottom two, and they're taking on one of those sides filling those bottom two positions, City of Derry on the road against Clonmel. That's a huge game for the Judges Road side on Saturday afternoon. Omagh also on the road on Saturday as they go to Brough. Finally, just in boxing, Derry's Conor Coyle risks his perfect record against Brazilian knockout artist Rodrigo Lopez this coming Saturday. The battle for the ABF Continental America's middleweight title will be an 8-round contest in Massachusetts. Coyle has a polished 14-0 pro career, while Lopez has won 8 of his 9 outings. Coyle looking to increase his record and, of course, take a title as well. We wish him all the best of luck with that. And that is it from another edition of The Score. If you missed any of the show, you can, of course, recap on HighlandRadio.com. Chris Ashmore's back tomorrow morning with our next bulletin. Until then, have a very good evening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.